This is Pearls and Swine, a podcast of Evangel Community Church. I'm Levi. I have Nathaniel Lynn Marsh next to me and Travis Hubert Williams across from me.
I like to go by Travis H.
I thought it was Travis Quincy.
Today we're feeling like we're going backwards in the alphabet, so we're going to go with H.
Nice.
Today we're going to be talking about St. Patrick's Day, one of the most celebrated saints all over the world, celebrating the Celtic culture, the Irish culture, and there's certain things I think that we do in America and have been popularized. One of them would be corned beef. I love a nice corned beef sandwich.
Which pastrami comes out of corned beef, right?
I don't know.
I think so, and that's one of my favorite cold cuts.
Yeah, but a nice Reuben sandwich. I like the California Reuben, though, myself.
What's on the California?
You take sauerkraut out and you put coleslaw on.
Ooh.
And it's a little more creamy, a little less tart. Ooh. Very nice. Very nice.
Never had one.
That sounds awesome. That's going to be my new tradition.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you have people pinching.
Dude, I never understood that.
You didn't have
one.
Green on, dude.
It's not St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, my bad.
Never understood that one.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Does that have something to do with the snakes in Ireland?
Snakes bite, though. I don't know.
Yeah, like a pinch. It's a baby snake.
Don't like them. Yeah. Anyway,
St. Patrick's Day is what we're going to be talking about. St. Patrick is really actually quite of an interesting character. His grandfather was a priest. I've been trying to think of how that actually worked. He must have left the priesthood and had children.
Did they have a requirement of not being married as a priest back then?
I don't know. They might not have. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But he was kind of a wild child. And he knew catechisms and things of that nature, but he was a nominal Christian at best. And he gets captured by these Irish pirates. They take him and they enslave him, and he becomes like a animal herder, a pig herder,
yeah,
or something.
Yep.
Shepherds.
I don't know, you don't shepherd pigs, do you? I don't know. Anyway, he's there for a while. 6 or 7 years of his life is with the Irish people, and they have him kind of entrapped in that. And then he escapes, and then what happens?
Well, he had like this vision to escape, right? And then he has this voice speak to him that calls him back to Ireland, where he was kind of humble in that. And he's like, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I can do that. It's a huge task. And so he spends a lot of time preparing for that. And what I read said like 15 years trying to learn and be trained and to know the scripture as well. And at this point, he had become very devout, because over his time of being a pig herder, he really decided to look into his faith, and it provided him some comfort. And so then he goes back over to
Ireland. Really, he was really into the triune God. He was really into the idea and the concept of that. He was also into the concept of natural revelation. Natural revelation is that which creation kind of reveals to us about God. I don't think he had scripture there. He only had what he had learned as a boy through the catechisms and stuff that his parents had brought him through, and through what the church had brought them through. And he begins to have a lot of time to think, because he's enslaved.
Yeah.
And he becomes that devout Christian in that moment.
Yeah. And I think Ireland was very much about a pagan naturalism in many ways. And so they worshiped some of the natural things. And so that was important for Patrick as he goes back. He escapes from his slavery, and then God makes his call in his life to now go and share who God is with the Irish people. And so he has this background. He has this familiarity with the culture, and what he does with that is I think really cool. And one of the less known stories of St. Patrick, exactly how he evangelized and shared who God is, because he didn't just be like, hey, this is the right way. This is the official position or doctrine, if you will, he actually used their culture. He used the things that they were familiar with, and he knew used natural stuff. And scripture talks about the natural world being important in understanding who God is.
He wasn't the first to bring Christianity there.
No.
But they really thought they were out of control, and they were kind of just barbarians, if you will. Part of it is when they would be all fighting in their different tribes, mm-hmm. and they would get naked and just run at each other, which would be a little bit scary if a bunch of dudes are running at you naked. I don't know. And so it was a way of intimidating, and it was a way of shouting and screaming and doing those things. And I think you're right. I think he was coming out of a Roman diagram of how to present the gospel, and it was very direct. Here's the presentation. Here's who God is. You make a decision, and then there's fellowship with the church. Mm-hmm. And he kind of flipped that upside down. And he said, come fellowship, we're going to have ministry conversations, and then there's going to be an invitation for belief and commitment to God.
Yeah, one of the things that I was reading is when he presented the symbol of the cross, he modified it for the Irish people to be able to understand it a little bit better, because he put a circle, and that circle represented the sun, and the sun was really important to the Irish people. I'm not exactly sure why. I'm not sure what the sun represented to them, but it was a powerful symbol. And so in doing that, St. Patrick was taking away this barrier or obstacle from the Irish people to be able to really understand that Jesus has this gift for them and this love for them, and salvation's found in him. You see this sometimes now in missionaries trying to understand the culture so that they can better and more effectively communicate who our God is. But that wasn't always the case. Sometimes missionaries would bring their culture with them and try to force their culture upon people. And oftentimes that didn't work out very well. You embrace Jesus no matter what culture you have or what culture you come from, because Jesus is the way, the only way to the Father. And he is the savior for all peoples. And so doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your culture, but you can use the culture to really speak in who God is.
The cool part about the story of St. Patrick is how he came to love the Irish people. He's captured into this slavery. He has to be this pig herder, this pig shepherd, and he's got a lot of time to think on his hands. He has an autobiography out, St. Patrick's Confessions, and in the opening of that, as he introduces himself, one of the first things he says is, I'm a sinner. And then he goes on and talks about his story of being in slavery over there. And he talks later on about he didn't really know God at the time, but God seemed to surround him more and more during his captivity. And he said that as his faith grew, he would pray 100 times a day and just a little bit less during the night. So he developed this amazing relationship with God. Hmm. And then he runs away. He escapes. But God still calls him back and gives him a heart for these people. He has those visions. I think one of them, some guy that he met had a bunch of letters, and he was reading those. And it was this guy named Victoricus, something like that. I'm not good with those names. But this guy shows up to him with all these letters, and he reads one. And it was one of them was the voice of the Irish, and he really felt like God was calling him back. And because of that time that he spent with those people in captivity, like you said, he learned their culture, and God really equipped him and gave him a unique tool to be able to go and present the gospel and minister to these people and share faith with them, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, if you look at most Celtic crosses, there's always animals inside of that. And one of the famous stories of him is he helped the snakes go out of Ireland, which is probably not true.
Which was why I loved him, though, in the first place. I hate snakes.
Yeah, but I think that he had this natural connection to animals. And St. Augustine talks about that when there's righteousness of a man, that there is this animals notice that righteousness and are kind of drawn into that. And so for the Celtic people, that was a very important part of who they were and how they operated and how they went about things. They were much more into, they weren't into the it would be the left brain kind of logic, reason, those types of things. They were into more of the right brain thinking in the sense of art, in the sense of emotion, in sense of dialogue, imagination, experience. And he played into those types of things in order to share who Jesus is. And he didn't force them right off the bat to, hey, you can't be, they were pagan. Mm-hmm. They had many gods or different gods or were at some level spiritual, but he introduced them kind of like Paul does at Mars Hill. Let me introduce you to the unknown God that you guys talk about in Acts chapter 17. He helped them to see creation from the Creator's perspective. And I think that's an important part of how he ministered to them. He opened a bunch of little abbeys and monasteries and those types of things. Is it Romans 2 that talks about hospitality as part of the spirit? I think it is. It basically, we talk about doctrine in American culture and like you got to have the right doctrine. But part of the work of the spirit in your life is that we would have this open door and openness to hospitality. And these monasteries, people would come and they would walk into these things. There would be actually somebody there at the welcome center, if you would, and they would ask them some spiritual questions. Why are you here? Why are you questing this way? But if the monastery was on a fast, everyone would stop the fast and they would break bread together. They would have, it was a Benedictine rule he kind of went off of, which I think that it's the 53rd Benedictine rule that if a guest comes in, you break fast. Number one, you give them a bed, bread, and beer. Those are the three things that you have to give in order to show
hospitality. I was just going to say, I could picture somebody showing up there and they're like, all right, you crack the Guinness, you fire up the stove, you got the corned beef and the cabbage, let's go.
Yeah. So I think part of it is that he, St. Patrick, really understood the presence of God in his life. And it was evident to the people that were around him that there was something different. And that was part of what was drawn in. There's estimates of like 10,000 converts to Christianity that came from him. And that's why I think he's kind of a super special guy in one sense, kind of a weird calling, you know, rough first part of a life to a place of really prominence through working toward the kingdom of God.
Well, I think his life reflected the gospel itself, right? Like to be kidnapped, to be forced into slavery, and then to choose to come back to that and choose to love the people who did that to you. I mean, that's very much the forgiveness that God demonstrates towards us. And so I think he had this personal testimony and story that was evident to the people, and they connected with him and they were able to know who God was, and his ministry is undeniable. It wasn't like he was the first one to bring Christianity to them, but
he was the first one. He was the first one to make significant impact, I think, in there, because they had kind of left that missionary journey. They wanted to introduce people to Jesus, but they wanted to do it in a Roman style, and it was just not, it was not working.
Yeah, and so he transformed a nation, really, with so much significant influence. And he set up churches and monasteries and schools, and that's a lasting impact. And we celebrate it today with our fun little ways of
leprechauns and pots of gold.
Greenness. And
well, he also taught them in the way that they were able to learn, which I really think is an interesting thought. We have Irish music that has been influenced by him. We have the Celtic music and movement and some of that stuff. We also have poems and things like that coming out of that. He had written for children, like these like little bedtime lullaby type things. And it was nature and God, nature and God, nature and God all the time. That kind of that pushing back and forth on those things. Even their prayers were like
that. There's one of my favorite songs by the band All Sons and Daughters, Christ Be All Around Me. And that's actually a poem that comes from Ireland. The rumor is that St. Patrick had a lot to do with it, but it's a really cool song. If you haven't heard it before, check it out. All Sons and Daughters, Christ Be All Around Me.
Yeah, but it's partially their imagination thing.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the Celtic styles of prayer that he taught, I'm just going to read it. It says, the three who are over me, the three who are below me, the three who are above me here, the three who are above me yonder, the three who are in the earth, the three who are in the air, the three who are in the heavens, the three who are in the great pouring sea. And it was really about the Trinity. That's mm-hmm. what he was speaking of. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to teach them that God, no matter where we go in all of the universe, God is there and the Trinity is there. And the presence of God is available to us and to them in that.
So one of the things that's kind of fun to think about, St. Patrick was not Irish.
No.
He was like Britain.
British, yeah.
British, yeah.
Britain. Britain.
And yet St. Patrick celebrates the Irish culture, and, mm-hmm. and that's very interesting that this man who's not even Irish is this patron saint, if you will, of Ireland, and we think of him as Irish and the culture of Ireland. That's how much he loves the Irish people, which is really cool. And once again, just a testimony to our God that someone who would not be a part of that culture would choose to give their lives to make an impact and influence on that culture.
Yeah, he lived by his faith. Mm-hmm. Like he lived out the commandment from Jesus in Mark 16, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. One of the things that I really find interesting about his strategy when he went back to Ireland, you know, he went and he created the monasteries, abbeys, and he did that thing. But one of his main objectives was to go and he'd find the kings over there. And he thought that if you could convert the kings, that that would have a great influence on people. And so you get the great influencers, you infiltrate them with the faith, and they were going to pass it down. So he was wise beyond his years in moving in that direction.
Yeah, they're tribal people, right?
Yep.
And so they're much more like we – much more, much less individualistic in mm-hmm. a sense than we are as Americans. Mm-hmm. They're much more connected to the tribe. So that's a great missionary kind of alignment that has been followed for hundreds of years now of mm-hmm. really trying to help communities know Jesus as you go to the leadership first and you work through that pattern.
So how are y'all celebrating St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, we'll do the corned beef thing.
Corned beef, baby. Yeah.
I haven't really done the food thing. I just dress in green. That's about it. And pinch a bunch of people.
Do you?
Yeah.
Your leotards are coming back out, huh?
They are.
Excellent.
And the green socks, the really big green socks.
Yeah. And then the orange beard. Why do they have the yellow, like orangey leprechaun things?
I don't know.
Does anybody know why that is?
No.
Is that some type of little spirit that causes mayhem or something?
I don't even know where the leprechaun thing comes from.
I have no idea.
I just know Lucky Charms, and I love those things.
Those are great.
Do you eat those on
No, I mean, sometimes we get them for my kids. Like, one of the things that my kids like is when we do their breakfast cereal green. Like, they think that's a hilarious little St. Patrick's Day thing.
Yeah, like, Lucky Charms, don't they have, like, unicorns in them now?
Mm-hmm. I think they do. And they even had some that were all
all marshmallow?
The clovers. Well, they do the all marshmallow too, but they have like the green clover ones that will actually turn your milk green for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's a little St. Patty's Day, little treatsy you can have there at home. But I think that's just a good thing. Like when your kids get excited about it, yeah, have fun with it, but it gives you a great point and an opportunity to talk on those things about who was this guy? Like he wasn't the dude that came through with the club and chased out all the snakes, even though that is a fantastic little story if it were true. But it gives you those things like this guy lived in this place. He was taken captive and yet he gets free and he goes back because of his heart for the gospel and the way God was moving him and shaping him and equipping him to go back and share his faith. So St. Patrick's Day is a fantastic time to share your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. The other thing that I was thinking about and when I was reading about St. Patrick in seminary is the connection to contemplative prayer. Not just like when – oftentimes when we pray, we're like, God, heal this person. God, you know, help Aunt Ida, her big toe hurts or whatever it is. And they're more directive type prayers. And he started to introduce the contemplative prayers where you're reading scripture and asking God to speak that scripture into your soul and into your being and to walk with the Spirit that way. And that's another thing that we can do. So if you're not sharing the gospel, another thing that you can do is just open your Bibles and begin to read and ask the Spirit to really speak that into your life, whatever that may be. We're going to close today with a Celtic lullaby that he taught, the St. Patrick taught the parents to sing to their children at night. And it says this, I am bending my knee in the eye of the Father who created me, in the eye of the Son who purchased me, in the eye of the Spirit who cleansed me, in friendship and affection. This is a really great lullaby of really going, man, God loves you. He cares about you. He created you. He purchased you. He cleansed you. And he wants a relationship with you. And so all you listeners out there, we want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you. He purchased you. He cleanses you through the work of Jesus on the cross. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And so if you have any questions or any thoughts on what we should cover next on Pearls and Swine, please let us know. You can email travis@evangelup.org, or if you just want to come hang out with us for a church service, we are here on Sundays at 9:30 and 11, and we're also online at 9:30. So look us up, evangelup.org. Thanks for listening.